become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps.
Welcome to the National Intel Report, folks. Your regular Wednesday host, William Rapillum. Tonight is Wednesday, October 25th, 2023. Please go to republicbroadcasting.org and smash the donate button. Donate the much-needed fundage. And if you prefer, mail-in check or money order to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Or you can call in at 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. Now, if you can set up a regular monthly donation, that would be awesome, folks. We ask, please, because we need help, and your regular monthly donation or any donation you can do is helpful to keep us from being able to talk the truth and spread the truth where the rest of the alternative media still hides the real big stuff. And we're going to really get into all that today. I've got Monica Schaefer with me today, and we are packed and loaded with topics to discuss. I hope we can get through everything. She wants to talk about, so we don't forget anything, this is very the most important thing. We want to talk about another political prisoner up in Canada, and I mentioned him last week, Leslie Borey, and she brought him to my attention just a couple of weeks ago. So, yeah, he's been jailed for hate speech, obviously. It's, being jailed by the criminals again for speaking the truth. So, yep, they're in a terrible situation. And Monica's also a target of this, has spent time in a German prison for 10 months just for, doing a little 6-minute documentary with her brother, Alfred, who's also actually in prison again. He was in there for 4 years, got out 2022. Now he's back again because he made a hand gesture while he was in prison. It's kind of ironic, isn't it? They're putting him back in prison for something, a hand gesture he did while he was in prison. So he got out, and then it's just the most ironic, asinine, upside down stupidity. And we're here to expose it today, folks, big time. And so first, let me welcome you to the show, Monica. Monica, it's great to have you back.
Thank you very, very much. I really look forward to this conversation. And I also see that BB9, Blackbird 9 joined us, which is just fantastic. I think that between us, we're going to have a really interesting evening. So thank you.
Yep, I'm just seeing that myself. Blackbird was a maybe on joining the show today, and I'm just super happy he's able to also join us. This will be our first time with having us three. So, and I know you guys are familiar from the past. I've known Blackbird very long, but we've done a couple good shows already. I know you've done some shows with him too, Monica. So, Blackbird, welcome. I'm glad you could. Glad you could make it.
Greetings. Happy Wacky Wednesday. So glad I made it. So, yes, we got a lot to cover. It's such an honor to be with the two of you this afternoon.
Well, thank you very much. You as well. You know, I wanted to start, you know, I kind of wanted to set a tone by looking at Zero Hedge very quickly and just sort of, you know, touching on a couple of things. And the first, and then going on to what's really important. And how I think, you know, this is why, and explaining why this stuff, Mike Johnson elected House Speaker. So I guess, you know, that Jim Jordan, you know, lost his House Speaker representative seat, his Speaker of the House. I don't know the details around why that was. I'm not really that interested in it. I don't think it's all that relevant to what we're dealing with. You know, this is just sort of like you know, bread and circus kind of stuff, to be honest, in my opinion, all this, you know, political left and right and people what do it, you know. So I get real bored with these conversations about these things. But yeah, anyway, Mike Johnson elected House Speaker, and it's just kind of, there's just some funny stuff about it. After three failed nominees, Rep. Mike Johnson had been elected with the new House Speaker of the House after necessary 217 votes. Johnson was elected to Congress 2016, making the most junior lawmaker in decades to become Speaker. He may also be the most conservative. As an evangelical Christian, Johnson is the former chairman of the Republican Study Committee and has sponsored legislation to effectively bars the discussion of sexual orientation or gender identity for those below the age of 10 at any school which receives federal funds. Oh, okay, well, great. You're almost as... You're almost, I think Ron DeSantis barred it for the age under 9, right? So, wow, you're just a whole year better than Ron DeSantis. We're still going to do it to the kids after 10 years old, which is also a crime. But, wow, you know. So, it's an evangelical Christian, right? So, he's probably very supportive of bombing the hell out of Gaza. So, whoa, okay, I guess we're real lucky there. So anyway, that's about all I want to say about it. Did any of you want to comment on this?
Go ahead, Blackbird 9, if you want.
Okay, well, didn't want to jump in front here. No. But, oh yeah, I'm sitting there biting my tongue. And yes, this is such a circus. It has been such a circus. Our house in this republic has been paralyzed for weeks. Suddenly we have this guy that nobody knows, and his first thing, he announces that, you know, what we have to do is go defend Israel. So his first priority is to jump in on the behalf of a foreign government, rather than, you know, those few minor problems we're having here in the United States, like our southern border, the opioid crisis, the fentanyl, you know, you name it, you know, we're being invaded. But his big priority is, of course, Israel. Like you said, he's a total hardcore, you know, Christian Zionist. And this is the madness we're up against in this so-called, you know, elected system we have is, you know, no man, you know, was it no one can serve two masters? And what do we have? We've got all these Congress critters, and they're put in place by Jewish money to serve Israel first and foremost. And they might throw the American people a bone every now and then during an election year, but you see where their real priorities are. So back to you.
I'll just add a very brief comment to that. I guess what we're witnessing is this is the natural outcome of what every congressman and woman has to do when they get sworn into office. They have to swear allegiance to, is it to America? No, it's to Israel. So I guess this is the natural outcome. And over back to you.
Okay, I think those are fantastic comments. I have nothing further to add on it. I agree 100% with both of you. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. I mean, really. This is what they call a conservative. So there you go. Those are my two bits on it.
Yeah, what are they conserving, actually? I'm still curious about that.
Good point.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right, so if we want to jump over, I want to play this clip. I just want to get this out of the way. I came up with an E. Michael Jones clip, and he's talking about Anthony Blinken. And this is why I'm not interested in that stuff going on in the House. Mike, I think it's clip number one. It's the one that's called The Holocaust Liar with Anthony Blinken on it. And E. Michael Jones does a fantastic expose on this really tyrannical, horrible hate speech laws that are coming down the pike, and how the highest levels in our government are completely co-opted, or not just co-opted, they're actually they're you know, Jews, and they're pushing this. You know, they got Deborah Lipstadt is the one who, well, let's let maybe Michael Jones explain it.
In May of 2023, the Biden administration released the first U.S. national strategy to counter anti-Semitism, a document which President Biden claimed represents the most ambitious and comprehensive
U.S. government-led effort to fight anti-Semitism in American history.
The historical significance of this document diminished considerably in light of the legal disclaimer which preceded any of its content. According to that disclaimer, the U.S. national strategy to counter anti-Semitism does not supersede, modify, or direct an interpretation of any existing federal, state, or local statute, regulation, or policy. This disclaimer facilitated passage of the document, but make no mistake, the legal disclaimer is a subterfuge. The U.S. national strategy to counter anti-Semitism is the first step toward making Holocaust denial a criminal offense in the United States. The United States will soon join Europe, where that is already the case. According to Wikipedia, 16 European countries, along with Canada and Israel, have laws against Holocaust denial. Wikipedia goes on to say laws against Holocaust denial have been proposed in many other countries, in addition to those nations that have criminalized such acts, including the United States and the United Kingdom. In June 2023, as part of the publicity campaign surrounding the release of the U.S. national strategy to counter anti-Semitism, Secretary of State Anthony Blinken appeared in a video produced by the World Jewish Congress, in which he claimed that his stepfather, Samuel Pizar, was rescued from a concentration camp by the 761st All-Negro Tank Battalion. As he got to the tank, according to Blinken, the hatch opened
up, and a large African-American GI looked down at him. And he looked up at the GI and got down on his knees and said the only three words of English that he knew, that his mother had taught him before they were separated: God bless America. The GI reached down, pulled him up into the tank, into freedom, into America.
It's a moving story. Unfortunately, it never happened. It never could have happened because the 761st was over 100 miles, or 174 kilometers to be precise, away from Dachau when it was liberated by the Allies on April 29, 1945. Pizar was even farther away from Coburg, which is 328 kilometers away, when Pizar was hiding out in the woods near Penzing before the liberation of Dachau. This makes Blinken and his late stepfather, Samuel Pizar, Holocaust liars. You can go to jail in 16 countries in Europe if you deny the Holocaust, but no one ever goes to jail for lying about the Holocaust. That means you can go to jail for denying a lie. Is saying that Samuel Pizar was never near the 761st Tank Battalion, is that Holocaust denial? If Deborah Lipstadt, the Biden administration official who is the main author of the U.S. national strategy to counter anti-Semitism, gets her way, American citizens will go to jail for Holocaust denial, which in this instance means denying things that never happened. Deborah Lipstadt was a fervent promoter of Benjamin Wilkomirski's Holocaust memoir, Fragments. If Lipstadt has her way, you would have gone to jail for denying that Wilkomirski was sent to a concentration camp as a Jewish child from Latvia. That means that 60 Minutes reporter Ed Bradley was involved in Holocaust denial because he exposed the fact that Wilkomirski was really a Swiss citizen by the name of Bruno Dossiker. Dossiker was not a Jew, and he had never been near a concentration camp. He made up fragments out of whole cloth. But Lipstadt loved the book. If she has her way, the entire crew of 60 Minutes would have gone to prison for exposing this hoax. Benjamin Wilkomirski, a.k.a. Bruno Desiker, is a Holocaust liar. Because she promoted his book, Deborah Lipstadt is a Holocaust liar after the fact. She is an accessory to what should be a crime, because Holocaust denial can land you in prison. It's time to bring some clarity to the situation by making Holocaust lying a felony in the 18 countries which now have Holocaust denial laws on their books. Laws against Holocaust lying need to be enacted in the United States as well to prevent innocent people from the prosecutions which will be inevitable once Holocaust denial becomes a criminal offense in the United States. Anthony Blinken is a Holocaust liar. As things stand now, anyone can make up a story about the Holocaust. As things stand now, anyone who contests that story, no matter how absurd, can be prosecuted for Holocaust denial in Europe, Canada, and Israel. If Deborah Lipstadt gets her way, that will soon be the case in the United States. If Holocaust denial is a crime, then Holocaust lying must be a crime as well. Because if it is not, innocent people will go to jail for denying something that never happened. Truth is the first victim of hate speech laws. No one should face prison for denying something that never happened. Help us stamp out Holocaust lying, read the Holocaust narrative, and prepare your defense now.
Wow, pretty good. That's good on that. That's good on the clip. The rest of it was some visuals and some memes and stuff, Benjamin Netanyahu, Israel stuff. But wow, he closed up with quite the marketing phrase, didn't he?
That's book. Right.
And prepare your defense.
Yeah, I think we take that to heart.
Absolutely.
I could just comment. You know, there were many, many, many examples brought into our trial by us, mainly by Alfred, about Jewish stories and Jews who, if they were not Jews, they would have been charged with Holocaust denial because their own stories just change so wildly all the time. Like they even just their numbers vary in the millions. You know, some Jews will say, just, you know, a few hundred thousand Jews were killed at Auschwitz, and others say 9 million Jews were killed at Auschwitz. I even heard a story that 26 million were killed at Auschwitz. But others will say a different story. So then why don't they get charged with Holocaust denial? And I also like the line that E. Michael Jones said about anyone can make up stories like Holocaust stories. It's really true. Any of these Jews can make up anything as wild as they, as their imagination will let them make up these stories. But if we challenge them on these stories, then, oh, we are anti-Semitic and we are hateful and we are disrespecting the memory of the dead and la-da-da-da-da and on it goes, right? So, yeah, that was an excellent little clip by E. Michael Jones. Really good.
I was so happy to see it this morning in my feed, and it's pretty fresh, so I figured it would be very relevant to our discussion. Excuse me. Blackbird.
Oh, excellent clip. And you know, Dr. E. Michael Jones is doing such incredible work right now with exposing this whole scam of the Holocaust. Oh, we're going into break?
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
I'll hold that thought.
Yeah, hold your thought. We'll be right back. I got Blackbird and Monica Schaefer. Be right back.
Tech. Cahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Charles de Gaulle once said, actually, it's difficult to envision in this regard any other criterion, any other standard than gold. Yes, gold, which does not change in nature, which can be made into either bars, ingots, or coins, which has no nationality, and which is considered in all places and all times the immutable and fiduciary value par excellence. So when the question is, why gold? It's simple, my friends. The answer to that question is simply, why not? Like it or not, precious metals will always be the world's reserve currency. Even though nations do not define their currency by their worth in, say, gold, individuals still buy gold and silver to protect themselves from inflation. The more money a nation's central bank pours into the economy, the less valuable its currency, the dollar is, which means the price of everything else rises. $21 up for a bag of dog food. Seeing that the dollar is cheap, that's why the cost of everything goes up. It's because the buying power, the value of the dollar has tanked. It's worth nothing. And yet gold that your family would have owned in 1907 will buy at least the same amount of goods, if not far more. William McPhee once stated, it's extraordinary how many emotional storms one may weather in safety if one is ballasted with ever so little gold. The truth about money, gold versus cash in a crisis, gold, a valuable thing to store, the power of gold in times of crisis. Historical sketch of paper currency. Oh, and beware the ides of rare coin dealers. And Alan Greenspan's speech on gold and economic freedom. How interesting. I'm going to give you gold and silver in five easy lessons. Seeking out the most efficient and most secure route to owning gold and converting it into widely accepted currency is the next best thing to enjoying gold-backed currency, my friends. In a world of central bankers hell-bent on devaluing our savings, you need to own private gold standard. Contact me, Jeffrey Bennett at Kettle Moraine Limited, by calling our phone number at 602-799-8214. That's 602-799-8214.
Voices. A thousand voices. Whispering. Time has passed for choices. Golden days are passing over, yeah. I can't seem to see you, baby. Although my eyes are open wide. But I know I'll see you once more. When I see you.
Okay, we're back, folks, and we've got a short segment before the next break, and then we'll skip the next break. Blackbird, let's move bookmarked. Your thoughts got interrupted there, so let's continue on if you can recall. If you're not like me and you completely forget everything you're
going to
say.
Yeah, no, I take notes. Anyway, now we were talking about Dr. E. Michael Jones and his – you know, basically logical argument about, you know, Holocaust liars versus Holocaust deniers. And when you look at it, even Raoul Hilberg, who started this whole big production of the Holocaust in 1961 with his destruction of the European Jews, technically he could be tried for Holocaust denial, a Jew that started this, because in his numbers they don't add up to 6 million. This is one of the things that Denier Bud in his epic series exposing this pointed out, that, you know, Raul Hilberg didn't even come up with that magic Talmudic number of 6 million. But yeah, this is the crux, is, you know, these people think they can, you know, shame and guilt trip every goyim. And if you think about, you know, all the lies they tell about the Germans, all the lies they tell about Southern gentlemen by, like myself. And it's all based on this arrogance, chutzpah, and pill pull arguments, where they just, you know, they're going to be right no matter what. And when you look at, you know, how this plays out, you know, think about in the run-up to 9/11, Steven Spielberg in 98 put out the film The Last Days. That was on the heels of the 1993 work of fiction, Schindler's List, that they make every school child watch. Like, this is how the Holocaust really happened. This was really and it's a work of fiction. And then, you know, in 2009, Eric Hunt produced the documentary The Last Days of the Big Lie, where basically he just shredded Schindler's List and The Last Days, of just pointing out all of the lies, the Holocaust lies, that were in those two propaganda films. And he, of course, was demonized as being an anti-Semite, and they went after him with everything because they couldn't dispute what he was saying. He was exposing the lie, especially, you know, Irene Zisblatt and the diamonds and all this stuff. Another black man who, you know, was in the war and you know, was the first to liberate one of the concentration camps. And this is all fiction. But when Eric Hunt pointed it out, they came after him as being a Holocaust denier and an anti-Semite, and just made his life miserable. And all he was doing was telling the truth. So this is where we are with these people. So back to you.
Might I add something about Raul Hilberg? Sorry, I'll just make a comment here. And Raul Hilberg, so... yeah, that's great. He could be called a Holocaust denier, and he wrote that big book, The Destruction of the European Jews, which, of course, he had to amend some things after the 1985 Ernst Zundel trial in Toronto, because there were some definite problems. And did you know that when the second trial took place in 1988 for Ernst Zundel, that Raul Hilberg, who was the key witness for the prosecution side in 1985, he did not come back in 1988. He was invited back to be again the key witness for the prosecution side, but he didn't come back. And he said something to this effect. He said, you know, it would be too much trouble for me because I'd have to review all the notes of what I said in 1985 because, you know, I don't want to be stumbling on making some different statements or whatever. Like, in other words, he was admitting, I mean, if he just told the truth, then he wouldn't have to be worried about stumbling and making some contradictory statements in 1988 because he would just still be telling the truth, right? But because he knows he's lying about everything, I guess he wanted to keep his lies straight. And so he didn't come back in 1988. Neither did any eyewitnesses come back in 1988, because in 1985, those eyewitnesses, in other words, Holocaust survivors who were on the stand, all their testimony was absolutely shredded by the very skillful cross-examination of Douglas Christie, the lawyer. But, you know, here's just one example of what happened in 1985. Doug Christie asks, to Raul Hilberg, can you give me one scientific report that shows the existence of gas chambers anywhere in Nazi-occupied territory? Hilberg, I'm at a loss. Christie, you are at a loss because you can't. I want one report before, during, or after the war. Is that the music that I'm hearing? I think so.
Yes, Monica. Yeah, please hold your thought.
Okay. Yeah,
so we'll be right back.
Hey. I'm afraid of no ghosts.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names. Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee that's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Oh, yeah, we're back. Okay. Sorry, Mike. I almost let the chorus go. Because I know you're dancing. Because I know that our station manager, Mike, is dancing in the studio because he's putting on his own bumper music so he could celebrate Halloween over there.
That's great.
He'll probably pop on some other Halloween song too while we're here tonight. So yes, Monica, if you can remember where you bookmarked your thought there.
Yeah. this is right out of the transcript. This is right out of the court, the trial in Toronto in 1985, where Hilberg was asked for a single scientific report. Like, was there, you know, can you give one scientific report that shows the existence of gas chambers anywhere in Nazi-occupied territory? And his answer was, I am at a loss. Imagine that. And he was the leading Holocaust historian, I put that in big air quotes, of the time. And so Christie goes on to say, well, you're at a loss because you can't. And then he asks for an autopsy report. And Hilberg says, you want an autopsy, and I know of no autopsy. And then he goes on to tell the court he could not think of any reason why a scientist would undertake such a study. This is right out of the transcript of what happened in the trial. Can you imagine that? Over to one of you.
Blackbird.
Oh, this is the thing that's so amazing is the reason they didn't come back in 88 is they knew that if they were sworn in and testified, they would be perjuring themselves because their lies in 85 were so outrageous. And so that was the big thing, of course. But then you start having these courts saying truth is no defense, right?
Yes.
And yeah, this is the level of Marxist, you know, Sanhedrin star chamber justice we are in now in all Western countries, where you can have as much evidence as you want, and the courts aren't going to listen to you. And some of us learned that the hard way after 9/11, when, you know, I was a 9/11 whistleblower about all the NSA telco illegal electronic surveillance programs, and I had all my evidence about how they are breaking the law, and it was in place before 9/11 under General Michael Hayden. Yes, that same General Michael Hayden who, you know, destroyed all the CIA torture evidence linking the Israeli Mossad to the Abu Ghraib stuff, and the guy who was an expert on Hunter Biden's laptop, right? So, you know, that was the guy that Bill Clinton put in place to set all this up in the run-up to 9/11. So we had all this proof that, you know, they are doing this. They are scooping up everything and sending a copy to Israel. And then when we finally proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that, yes, indeed, the illegal electronic surveillance was going on, then the entire Congress critters got together and said, we're going to forgive the telecommunication industry because they were patriots stepping up to protect us after 9/11, right? So they did this whole, you know, telecom immunity for shredding the First and Fourth Amendments, right? This shows you the control that they have over these Congress critters. And one of the things that came out from Engineers for 9/11 Truth, Engineers and Architects for 9/11 Truth, that came out, this latest court ruling, is the court ruled that the NIST, the NIST committee, that supposedly are national standards, is not required to actually do anything truthful. Right? It's
yeah, we're really sitting there. Are you serious?
I am. See, I'm trying to find the article that came out yesterday from Architects and Engineers, but it's basically the court ruling was that NIST is not beholding to actually do anything factual, right?
Oh, this and, is just so Talmudic. Oh my goodness.
And it's, you know, it's that cultural Marxist thing of the truth is whatever we need it to be to get our way at the time. And tomorrow it could be totally different. And if you know what's good for you, you'll just change your story to get in lockstep. Right? That's the thing. And this is what Newspeak was all about, is you're just keeping up with whatever the party says the truth is. That's what you go with. You know, we've always been at war with Eurasia. You know, Israel's our greatest ally, right? You know, so back to you. I'm going to be looking for this Architects and Engineers article.
You know, I'm always thinking about how can we reach the people that still need to be reached that have not yet opened their eyes, or maybe they're willing to open their eyes a little bit because they kind of got rattled awake during the COVID scam and all that. And I just say to folks, if you can share this kind of information where we point out what the judges have actually said at some of these trials, what has actually transpired in some of these court cases. For example, the German judge said at the end of Ernst Zundel's trial there in Germany, he said, It does not matter if the Holocaust happened or not. What matters here is that there's a law against questioning or saying it didn't happen, and you broke the law. So that is akin to saying, in so many words, you know, truth is no defense. Because in Canada, in one of Ernst Zundel's later cases, it was a different, it wasn't the 1985 nor the 1988 case, but a later one, I think, I can't remember exactly what, but it was all related to the same subject. That is where the judge actually did say those words, the truth is no defense in this case. So they are telling us that. And then, you know, the evidence that is brought forward, and even the prosecution side, key witness cannot produce any evidence to support their narrative, none at all, whereas our side, we are criminalized for bringing evidence, and that is literally the case. That is literally the case, that if we explain how we reach our conclusions, like this happened in the 2018 trial of Alfred and myself in Germany, where we were not allowed any of our witnesses. We were further forbidden from stating our case. Like, Alfred received more jail time for the things that he said in court to explain how, you know, we reached our conclusions. That was criminalized. He received more jail time. So even that alone, you know, if you share that kind of information with folks who still believe in the Holocaust and just say to them, look, you can't even defend your position in court, you're criminalized for it. The judge says truth is no defense. The judge says it doesn't matter if the Holocaust happened or not. Maybe that is a way to crack that hard shell that people have, that people are under this spell, this Holocaust spell. And, you know, and this ties together to what we wanted to talk about, all these political prisoners, because there are many, and I've got a list of seven names in front of me. A couple of them I just want to mention briefly, but there are some that I did want to talk about. But these are political prisoners, meaning they're in jail for words. They are not in jail for rape or pillage or looting or burning or theft or anything. They are in jail for words. Now, William, do you want me to go ahead with Leslie Borey's story right now, or did you want to say something? I'll just pause for a moment for you to jump in.
Oh, yeah, go for it. I just real quick wanted to say, you know, if anybody out there listening, you know, this is the kind, I think this show that we have right here is touching on in a very intelligent way, one of the most intelligent ways it can possibly be done, with the gathering of these minds here. To expose what it is that we're actually up against here, and it being the actual linchpin of every other thing that's happening in the world. Everything that's going on in the world is because of this lie, and you can see how it ties in, because it's used anytime anyone brings up anything at all. The Canadian truckers, for example, you know, some Jewish parliamentarian said, oh, they found a flyer by the trucks and the truckers that said that had, like, you know, some prop, like something about the Jews being behind stuff. And they used that and said, oh, HH, honk, honk means Hail Hitler, and shut down the whole argument. And then all of a sudden the trucker thing was wiped out. And yeah. I mean, it's they use the Holocaust to shut down any argument at yeah. all against their power. This is the big message we're trying to get out to people that don't know it yet. And that's all I wanted to say. I'll kick it back to you.
Yeah, Mike. William, I like to call it the linchpin lie, because it epitomizes the Jewish forever stance of being the persecuted people. You know, they've been kicked out of nation after nation, country after country, and state after state for hundreds, if not thousands of years. They've been kicked out. And they try to portray themselves as being always the poor, poor, persecuted Jews, whereas why they get kicked out is because the people who are the host populations, they discover what the Jews are doing with their subterfuge, sorry, wixing my merds up there, and they infiltrate and they destroy civilization. So the people, the host populations, do not want to be persecuted by the Jews, who are the, you know, the parasitic population among them. And so really this is the linchpin lie, because it is the one in our current history that they always go back to and say, oh, the Holocaust, you know, and you can't do this. Oh, that's going to bring up, oh, you're racist. Oh, you're bringing up the next Holocaust, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, ad nauseum. Okay, Leslie Borey, he has been in jail since middle of February of this year, 2023, in Milton, Ontario. And it's a very, like, supermax high-security prison. The conditions of his imprisonment, in at least in the first few months, and I'm not sure if it has improved much, are abysmal. And I've also learned about some of the conditions of the prisoners, the J6ers, and I'm just thinking, oh, my goodness, this is Canada and the United States. And, you know, we always kind of thought that, oh, those kind of things only happen in third world countries. You know, you don't want to go to jail in some third world country because you're going to be treated so badly and being thrown in a hole somewhere in a deep, dark dungeon and not see the light of day. Well, guess what? That's how it is in our countries, Canada and the United States, and for the political prisoners. So that is the case. He's been in jail since February and without a trial in sight. There's probably going to be a trial next year. He's being told that he's going to be charged not just with hate speech, but also with inciting genocide or doing genocide. I don't know, or something like, it's not yet been, you know, these charges have not been formally made, but this is what his lawyer is telling him that they're talking about. And this is a classic case of let's shoot the messenger, okay? Leslie Borey is the messenger who was creating videos, and yes, they were hard-hitting videos, but they were only videos. They were words. He was speaking to people, and he was telling the people what the Jews, and he likes to call them the Soferim 15 gang. That's right out of the Talmud, and the Soferim 15 says that even the best of the Goyim deserve to die. So he often calls the Jews the Soferim 15 gang, that they are trying to kill us. And he gave clear examples of how they are going about doing it with the bioweapon that they were coercing people into taking en masse, and, you know, and police knocking down people and, you know, running over them with their horses and using violence basically to shut down protesters or people who were resisting and whatnot. So he was telling people about this, and they threw him in jail. They are not letting him out on bail. And even though he should be let out on bail. What happened a month ago, or just over a month ago, I believe it was September 23rd, he was seriously assaulted in prison. And I need to give you some background about this, because Leslie Borey, from the letters that he is sending me, I get the impression that he is very well liked in prison by the other prisoners I'm talking about. Because he talks about some of their interactions. He's been writing a lot, writing short books. I've got the first one published on my website, freespeechmonica.com, Monica with a K. So you can see that. It's called 25,000 Bullets for Wife and Country is the name of his first book, or booklet, you might call it. It's about 14,000 words. Anyway, so he's been writing a lot, and he handwrites these, obviously. He doesn't have access to a computer or anything like that, and he sends them out, and I've been typing them up, and I'm working on typing up the second one, and I'll get it published as soon as I can. And so far I've got four, and I understand he's writing another one. And he passes them around to some of the guys on the range, as he calls the other fellow prisoners, and they've been giving him feedback, and they're really liking it, and they're getting educated by him, and they want to help him. They want to help him, you know, fix the system, fix Canada. And you see, okay, more background. Leslie Borey, he is a politician. Now, he is not a politician in the usual sense. He has never been elected to office, but he has run many times. He has been through many elections and has run as an independent candidate. Now, if you run as an independent, you are not beholden to any party's platform where they will inevitably be protecting that certain group of people that we're not allowed to criticize, lest we be called anti-Semitic, et cetera, right? So he was getting more and more bold with his messages and calling out the lampshade mafia, as he always also liked to call them, not always, I meant also. And Blackbird, you like to call them the chicken swingers. But I laughed my head off when I saw him on a video calling them the lampshade mafia. So he calls them out, and he also is extremely knowledgeable about money and how money works and the money system. And so he has some very concrete solutions and suggestions for how we fix this. And this is what he puts forth as a potential elected representative, and he wants to fix things. So, okay, so that's the background. He's got people in prison there who are on his side, who like him, and he is a very likable man. I know him personally. Now, he got blindsided on September 23rd. He got knocked out. He had, let me just read you what I've written, made notes here. Two black eyes, a broken nose, a gash on the face, needed stitches, gash on the back of his head, bumps and bruises and scrapes, and two broken ribs. So it is unknown who the assailant was, but it was in the prisoner courtyard. So, you know, we could have a little guess, an educated guess here, who that might have been. Like, who was put up to this? Who was maybe paid off, or who was promised a shorter sentence, or who did that to him? You know, I mean, he doesn't know who did it to him, so we don't know who did it to him because he was blindsided, literally. Like, he did not see his assailant. And maybe it was more than one assailant. I do not know. But I'm going to just pass it over to you for commentary.
Well, I agree. I think some kind of setup there. I mean, that's a reasonable, logical deduction. If he's well liked by folks there, let me kick it over to Blackbird. Get his thoughts.
Well, it's interesting that my father, who also had a military career, but also did a lot of work through the church in the prison system. And so growing up, you know, I was very much exposed to what the realities of the various levels of prison systems were. And one of those realities is that if you have political prisoners, you know, a lot of times you have corrupt guards and corrupt wardens that, you know, their jobs depend on making their higher ups happy. You know, you can have people being, you know, punished for their political views by the actual staff, you know, as well as, you know, the various syndicates that operate and the gangs that operate within the prison system that, you know, okay, we're going to give you money or your wife money if you'll beat this person up, you know. So those are the realities of this, you know, prison system that we have developed, which is, you know, it's so sad to see, you know, how the prison system has devolved from, you know, where we wanted Western prisons to be, this idea of reforming people. And now you're basically sending people to hell, right? And so, you know, it's sad that this happens, and especially people that have offended the chicken swingers. You know, you're questioning the Holocaust, you're anti-Zionist. And the, you know, brainwashing, especially among evangelicals, that, you know, their eternal salvation depends upon Israel being the chosenites. I mean, this is how strong that brainwashing is. So you could have somebody in prison that may have killed 20 people, but they still think Israel is the chosenites. And you're talking smack about, you know, their God. You know, this is, you know, they're worshiping Israel and these chicken swingers rather than God and Jesus, et cetera, right? So this is the reality of where we are with the prison systems. And getting back to the earlier point, real quick before we lose it, but the note from Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, of which I am a proud member, from day one. As soon as I heard about this organization, I immediately said, okay, I'm not that kind of engineer, but I'm an engineer and I support what you're doing. But it says this is dated October 24th, 2023. The U.S. Court of Appeals made a startling ruling in our case against NIST, and NIST, or NIST, is the National Institute of Standards and Technology. And by reject, it is declared the federal agency reports are no longer, or excuse me, are under no obligation to be accurate or reach scientifically sound conclusions, even when the reports explore what killed thousands of people on September 11th, 2001. So read that again. The federal agency reports are under no obligation to be accurate or reach scientifically sound conclusions. So again, it's, you know, you just can't deny the Holocaust because this is religion. This is Purim 2.0. You know, they want the basically the Book of Esther, and you just swap out Hitler for Haman, and the National Socialists are, you know, Haman's troops, and, you know, the Jews are always the eternal innocent victims, and this is the new religion of the New World Order. And this is why every town has to have a Holocaust museum. You know, here in little Boone, North Kakalaki, after 9/11, Appalachian State University had to put in a Holocaust, you know, center and, you know, a curriculum for teachers. Appalachian State University is a teacher's college, so therefore it had to have a Holocaust center to train these teachers how to properly teach the Holocaust, right? So, you know, this is what we're up against, and I'm just, you know, so, you know, impressed with people like Miss Monica and her brother Alfred and this gentleman we're talking about that say, okay, I'm going to tell the truth and I'm going to challenge this, and I might be sent to prison. I might get beaten up by the Mossad or the JDL or any other of these, you know, Jewish supremacist organizations that think that they are God's warriors and they have a holy right to destroy you if you challenge their beliefs and the Talmud, et cetera, and their superiority and their status as the Chosenites. And this is the, you know, arrogant mindset of the supremacist system that we're up against. And it's very effective. But because people are standing up to it, it is cracking and falling apart. It's that, you know, you build your castle on sands of lies, especially big lies. Eventually, you're going to run out of political capital because every one of those lies that gets exposed, that's one less weapon you've got to use. Right. So back to you.
Edgar
Casey's statement in 1981, we will know that our disinformation campaign is complete when everything the American people believe is a lie. Well, I think you made that, the problem with that is that it's built on all these lies, and it's a house of cards, but at the same time, you know, it's also gets... into people's minds, and so now people are just totally brainwashed. That's all I got. Let me kick it to you, Monica.
Yeah, I think though that they, our enemy, or this enemy, they've proclaimed themselves the enemy. We didn't start the war, they did. But anyway, they are desperate and they are in a panic mode, because when they do things like this NIST proclamation that, you know, that they don't need to be factual, that's pretty desperate, don't you think? Like, they're in desperate straits. So really, that should always buoy us up. And yeah, I hear the music, so I guess we'll be back after the top of the hour.
Gilad Atzmon says the essence of Jewish power is the ability to prevent the discussion of Jewish power.
Jewish power requires anybody in politics to understand it and know about it, but never talk about it.
My Awakening really sums up, with the very best evidence, the facts and the truth about race, and the fact that race drives history, and the truth about the Jewish question.
The younger you get, the greater the percentage of people who identify as alphabet soup, you know, LGBTQRS.
This woman, she's like, oh yeah, I identify as a koala 2 years ago. And I'm like,
What? A koala?
What? Maybe if it was Quickie Koala, that might be cool, but otherwise, I don't know. How about an N-word pass? Have you ever received an N-word pass from any of your black friends?
Biden invited a drag queen to come for the signing of the Respect for Marriage Act. It's the Respect for Anal Sex Act. So, yeah, I mean, let's just call it like it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.